This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. I'm going to be talking to Pat Starr, who's Sioux Falls City Council Northeast District, but a candidate now for Sioux Falls School Board. And you're a dad of three. You've got college, you've got Washington High, you've got St. Lambert. In a sense, teenagers are teenagers, aren't they?
They absolutely are, but I think teenage girls are probably more of a, in my experience, I can contribute just about every gray hair in my head to my 16-year-old daughter.
That's part of being in the school board. Now, you've been with the city council, I know, for quite some time.
Yep, I've spent two terms on the Sioux Falls City Council, last 8 years, and finishing up, am term limited in May, so I decided that what can I do next that would serve the citizens of Sioux Falls and make Sioux Falls a place where I'm proud for my kids and for my kids to have an opportunity to continue to live here, just like my wife and I, when we graduated college, we moved to Sioux Falls, and it's been a blessing for our family, and I want to pass that on to the next generation.
Well, having experience as a counselor going into the school board, you kind of know how meetings and all that kind of stuff go. But Northeast District, that changed quite a bit over that time.
It has. I often say the Northeast part of Sioux Falls has the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. So, and then everybody in between. But we do, you know, you can look around Sioux Falls, and one of the things I've always liked about Sioux Falls is that we don't have neighborhoods maybe that are, you know, we kind of assimilate with rich and poor and smart and working class and just that mix. And we're starting to see a little bit of that in Sioux Falls, where you see families and different groups of people coming together.
They all shop at Walmart.
Absolutely. on a good day, we either go to Culver's is upscale for us, and so is Target.
Well, Pat Starr, a candidate, why do you want to, well, you know, first of all, you got a couple kids in school, but what are some of the concerns at the school board? Because hardly anybody ever goes there.
You know what? There's a number of things, John. I think that we can be very proud of our school district. I think we're finally making the investments with a new high school and a new middle school and some plans to move ahead with what do we do with Whittier. But if you look out on the horizon, there are some things that really concern me and that I think that we can do better. I think that you would have a hard time making an argument that you get an equal education in Sioux Falls. And, you know, we used to talk about segregation based on race. We're really seeing segregation based on income now. And so that we've separated folks from different based on their income and where they live in the city. And it's most evident at the middle school level. You don't get the same education at one middle school to the other. It's just because of the demographics of families and what people are going through.
Well, we're getting to be a bigger city. And I can remember when it was 50, 60,000 and all we worried about was morale's not going on strike. I was the old Washington High School just before Lincoln High opened up. I had a graduating class of 1,000. I'm still meeting people that I went to school with that I didn't even know back then. But Lincoln High was being built at that time, and everybody voted on new buildings back then, which is unheard of now. But they voted it down once because they said, well, they don't have to put carpeting in the hallways. Well, you know, we were kind of old school. And then they voted it down because I don't think they need to put in a swimming pool. It's too bad, really, we should have, actually. But on the fourth time around, it finally passed, and we haven't voted for a school building since.
Well, you know, we just passed a $200 million bond issue to build Jefferson and to continue on with the new middle school, and they included 10 years of capital improvement plan, and we packed that thing up. But we were seeing our high schools with over 2,000, 2,100, 2,200 kids, and doing multiple shifts of allowing kids that we wouldn't normally let them leave the campus during the school day, but we were happy that they left the building because they couldn't get from one class to the other. There were so many kids in the classroom. We started offering classes at 7 o'clock in the morning. That just was crazy. You know, so if you could come in early, you could do this. And I mean, we did what it took to be successful, but opening up Jefferson has really made a difference to the number of kids in school. In the high schools in particular.
But a lot of times the taxpayer will say, well, did I vote for that? You know, and the city too, you know, City Hall all of a sudden had another building, and then there was this building and that building. And the voter comes back and says, wait a minute, nobody asked me, you know, they're spending my money. But that's the way things go nowadays.
Well, I think one of the things that, I'll be remembered for, at least serving on the city council and in the future, is talking about openness and transparency. It's really the three things that I've been talking about when I've run for school board, is it's openness, it's transparency, and it's fiscal responsibility. We're getting to a point, if you want to talk about property taxes and home values and what it takes, that we're taxing people, we're starting to tax people out of their homes.
Well, as you're going out of the council, maybe you can say a few things now that maybe you couldn't before.
But, well, you know, John, I've always spoke my mind. That's never been one of my strengths, is to hold things back.
You always have, but you mentioned property tax. I know in the legislature, Jack Colby tried to put a cap on seniors, and that didn't pass.
No, but one of the things that I did do while I was serving on the council is that we did pass at least a rebate for elderly and disabled folks for at least the city's portion of the property taxes. So we did pass a program that, you know, it's not a huge relief, but for those that need it, it's huge. The average is around $500-$600 that you qualify for. So if you qualify for the elderly tax freeze as the state program, if you apply, then we take that same data and refund your city portion of the taxes. But while I've been on the council, I've never voted for a tax increase in 8 years. And in fact, what I keep seeing us do as a council or as a city is that we continue to raise property taxes every year and put a lot of that money in savings. And it's one thing if you have a need and the folks need services, because no one ever calls me and says they need less services from the city. But at the same time, the amount of dollars that we have in reserves continue to grow. We're in that 60-some million dollars worth of reserves. That's money we're taking away from low-income people who can't afford to live in their houses.
Talking to Pat Starr, who is now a city councilor in Northeast District, but running for Sioux Falls School Board. What happens if you are elected to the school board? Do you still serve on the council?
My term on the council expires in May, at the end of May, and then this term on the school board would start July 1st. So I get a month off, so I'm thinking my wife's got this list of honeydew items that she's going to try to cram in that amount of time.
Well, you mentioned, again, going back to property tax, because some seniors, especially, you know, with historical homes, it's been in the family forever. You know, I had a home that was built by my grandfather at one time, but they're paying more on property tax than they did ever on a mortgage even. And the bank will say, well, you can't afford an $800 mortgage, but then they have to go pay rent for $1,100.
How you qualify for a loan just blows my mind anymore. But what we're doing with housing, but we've seen it in a number of directions, you know, with in inflation in the cost of building materials or shortages of building materials. We've seen it in interest rates. And it's funny, I'm old enough now that, you know, a 5.5-6% interest that my 22-year-old son would think was outrageous. You know, I think we started at 7.5 or 8% for our first home when we first moved to Sioux Falls. So, I mean, some of it's relative, but what we expect in first-time homes and what different generations are looking for. My parents, you know, I remember the joy of my father being able to add a garage onto our first home when I was a kid, and how that was. And now you wouldn't think of building a house without a triple car garage, a double and another single attached to it, and what the minimum, or to build a house without a basement finished, or that you would do over time. So, well, I mean, some of the things we've done.
Most of them are a big garage with a house attached.
Well, I tell you what, I think I spend more time in my garage, but my wife factors into that too.
73, I got out of the Navy. $15,000 for a two-bedroom furnished basement garage right by University of Sioux Falls, but the interest was 9% at that time. And I didn't think anything of it back then because, you know, $15,000, you know, like you say, it's relative. But the question I have, and now, like you say, being council and now going to school board, they're building so many huge apartment complexes. People from Florida coming in with investment to build they're saying Sioux Falls is the place to invest in building apartments. They're building 5-6-story developments, huge. Boom, all of a sudden, where'd that come from? They're getting TIFs. The developer makes all the money, but then all of a sudden with all these new people and all that, they need a school, they need more sewer, water, streets. How come the developer isn't paying that, and all of a sudden the taxpayer, we have to raise our property taxes to pay for what they made money on?
Well, and it seems like we've always been told that growth helps us so we don't have to pay more taxes for the people that are here. And one of the things that I've tried over the years is to make sure that that we do the assessments on the land and then the property to make sure that the folks that are living there. But I think you're seeing that generation of they want to come home and pew, pew, pew versus do they want to go out in the backyard and barbecue and see their neighbors. But I think the city has done a good job of forecasting into the future of that we want to be in that half mile, mile radius to a park. You're going to see, and this is going to come across as a surprise to a lot of people in Sioux Falls, but you're going to see a $75 million bond issue in the next month from the city for swimming pools, whether it's another indoor facility, another, well, again, we haven't seen the final. We've done a lot of public meetings, but we haven't seen exactly what those are going to be. So that amount of recreation that we provide when you live in a multifamily home, you need that outdoor, that backyard needs to become public.
So many things and changes. Now, you've seen over the last 8 years where they moved the public input at the meetings from the beginning to the end where nobody hears them. The mayor isn't quite as transparent as the previous mayors. And quite often projects are all of a sudden brought to you to sign that the committees have done all the work and approved everything already.
You know, John, one of the things I heard at a forum that I participated in last week is a current school board member said, well, no, the school board doesn't make policy. We approve policy. And that's a shift where you're taking the public and the board out of it and turning it over to the bureaucrats. So one of the first things that I'll do when I'm serving on the school board is the school board makes policy, the administration administers that policy that the school board sets so that you can do more openness and more transparency. The school board often meets at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon for a working session. That doesn't work for the average working person that wants to come and be involved in their kid's school. And then we throw our hands up and we say, why don't these people care about what we're doing? Or we meet at 5:30, you know, the board meets at 5:30 on a Monday. I can barely get my kids home, get home from work, get them fed and get out, back out of the house to participate. And again, then we say, well, why don't these people vote? Why aren't they interested in what we do? We don't involve the public in what we do. We make it hard for them. And then we act surprised that we don't get any input from them.
I'm so old. I was a PTA president at the old Jefferson school, but we don't see PTA and that kind of thing, the parent teacher. The teachers seem to get a lot of days off for training, this and that type of thing. Boy, they never got that many days off when I went to school.
We also didn't ask them to do as much as we're asking them to do now. Mm. I think one of the things that I made a comment because somebody said, well, that's provocative. I like to say I'm passionate. So it just depends on what you want to put on the front of the t-shirt. But the bottom line is that teachers leave education and quit teaching not because of money. That money is the final straw because they can't pay their mortgages, they can't buy a car, they can't do the things. So, I mean, the money is part of the effectiveness of it, but it's the behavior of the students in the classroom. We're seeing some very outrageous things coming from kids, and it goes back to the family life. Mom and dad are working two jobs. So really, as I circle around, it's wages. People can't, they're working two and three jobs. They're doing those things where they're not able to be there for their kids. And then the things that parents used to do for their kids, we're now asking the teachers to do it because we've made budget cuts and gotten rid of counselors in the schools. We've gotten rid of having enough education assistance. Although the one thing the district has done is brought in behavior specialists. It's new phrasing for us, but it's basically someone to help make the kids behave. But we've got to get the administrators to leave the office and help the teacher in the classroom because teachers are leaving because of the things, the additional duties that we continue to pile on to get them where they need to go.
We hear a lot of strange things nationally, but do we have to worry about the woke aspect of pronouns and trans and other things that we hear in the news quite a bit today in the Sioux Falls area?
Well, I think we do have to be concerned, because one of the things that we can no longer do is allow kids to be bullied because they're different. And that's, you can call it all the names you want. You can look around, but, you know, unfortunately, I mean, we had a presidential candidate who said, well, we just held the kid down and shaved his head and we taught him a lesson. We can't do that anymore. We've got to address kids where they're at. And I think we are doing a better job of taking care of the kids that are different, that don't fit in, and finding a place for them. We still see our youth suicide rates continue to climb. And it comes down to bullying and some of the things that we do. Kids are mean to each other. I mean, they were mean when we were kids. And it was tough.
The population of the school system, most people don't understand. It's you know, I remember when it was like 29,000. How many? It's a large number.
We're just short of 25,000, between 24 and 25,000 kids that we have.
That's a lot of kids.
It's an absolute lot of kids. And so, I mean, that's a lot of milk. It's a lot of meals. It's a lot of being able to take care of them. But you know what? When we start arguing about not letting kids have lunch, are you kidding? How do you expect them to move forward? The Rapid City School District, they use general fund dollars to make sure every kid has a meal. Being hungry shouldn't be the reason of behavior problems. We have enough other things going on in our community that these kids are living in a car at night. Then they come to school because they don't have a home to live in, or they have parents that are working three jobs by the time they're done and not getting the help they need at home. And then we're surprised because they're hungry and then they act out in class and they're not learning.
How much time do they get to eat?
You know, I've watched what my daughter does at the high school over at Washington, and it's nice because they've added a Warrior halftime where kids can meet with their teachers and get some extra reading time, and then it extends into the lunch, but they're in that 20 to 30 minutes at the high school level. I know my daughter, they've figured out, my younger one that's in fifth grade, they've figured out that it's important for them to have recess before lunch, because then they eat better. They get a stretch after they've been sitting all morning and doing their classroom work, so that they can get outside and get moving before they eat lunch. And then they get them a few minutes after they eat lunch to do that. So I think we're looking at where kids are at. The only other thing is 8:15 is probably too early for my high school kid to get to school. Her body just doesn't work that way. And it's a struggle, I think, you know, as we talk about attendance, and that could be our next topic if you want.
Well, sure. Do they, you know, I don't think they, in kindergarten, they still don't have their nap time. Do we still have, we don't have any shop anymore?
Actually, some of the shop things that we're doing is we're starting to add back shop classes. We call it CTE. Probably one of the best burgers I ate during the burger battle in January was down at Crave, that was designed and put together by the students that are in the food sciences program at CTE. The hardest part about what we're doing with shop classes and some of what I call vocational education, or what I called it when I was, you know, in high school, our VOTEC time, they have to get on a bus. You know, my daughter's looking at taking a cooking class next year, or a restaurant class, but she's got to drive 20 minutes, or, you know, get on a bus for 20 minutes and go out to CTE campus out on the Southeast Tech College campus, or close there. You know, they're relatively close. So it's that 20 there, 20 back. You know, now she's burning up her school day, moving kids back and forth. So, but there are like entry level shop classes that are at each of the high schools. So they don't cut their fingers off. They get some basic safety. They don't get it. You know, they understand the importance of PPE, personal protective equipment, and doing some of those things.
I can remember making ashtrays reappearance, but they don't do that anymore.
Oh, no, but they make a birdhouse or two. I think I got a birdhouse from one of my foster kids who made it. And then he made the bass part of his guitar that he made a custom part of it, learning about the different qualities of wood and what sounds they make. And so they do some great things.
Do they still have present?
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's focusing on lifetime skills. What are you going to continue on to be?
Do they still have to climb the rope? Or?
I don't think I've seen a rope in a high school gym in a long time. And thank God, because I could never do that either.
It wasn't easy.
No, it was not the fun part of the class.
Now, do we have to worry about sports being cut back at all?
I think we have a major issue in front of our Sioux Falls School Board with talking about cutting gymnastics and a federal lawsuit. I think that's one of the places that the district hasn't been open and honest with the community. I think they maybe made a good decision about cutting the program because the number of students that were participating versus the cost, but they committed the school board as part of some settlement of the federal lawsuit to continue gymnastics on for another 3 years. So they committed the district for $400,000, but they never had a single board item and the board didn't approve that. So how do you spend $400,000 to continue the program until the lawsuit? It's a temporary settlement. And then they start hiding behind attorney-client privilege or work product or, you know, it's pending litigation. You have a settlement. It's not pending litigation if you have a settlement. But they can't talk about it publicly. That's wrong.
Yeah. Pat Starr, City Council, running for Sioux Falls School Board. How many are on the school board?
There are five people on the Sioux Falls School Board. There are five positions.
And how many are running for an election? How many positions?
There are two right now, and it's kind of confusing because the school board has decided that they should change the terms to 4 years instead of three. And so this term, what I'm running for right now, is a two-year term to get us onto a four-year schedule so that you can combine school district elections with the Sioux Falls City Council, and it gives that whole local government in one election. When they were doing, there was a school board election every year, and then they were up every 3 years, and it got really complicated. So 4 years seems to make sense to get through this process. So.
How often do they meet publicly?
A couple of times a month at 5:30 on Monday nights, and then there are various work sessions. And I think the one thing that most of the public doesn't realize is that the Sioux Falls School Board is the governing body for Southeast Technical College, mm-hmm. which is kind of unique. When you sign up to be on the school board, now you're managing a VOTEC and a secondary, or you know, a separate education. So
it's birth until 18, or
yeah, I think Governor Rounds did a good job of requiring students to stay in school till they're 18. Even with the GED and some of those things that, I mean, we just live in a world that you need 4 years of a high school education.
And for special handicapped, actually birth, they start before, you know, at the earliest age, I suppose, you know, for some needs. What is the one thing you want to accomplish then if you're on the school board?
Openness and transparency. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus on, I there's no reason we pay enough in taxes in Sioux Falls. We just got to do a better job of how we allocate those taxes. We have to be, every dollar we spend, we have to be so considerate that we're taxing people out of their houses.
Yeah.
And so the choice is, do I do this program or do I raise someone's property taxes? And like I said, in my history, I haven't seen in the last year, 8 years, there was any reason why I needed to raise someone's property taxes, that there was a program that was worth more.
Well, those on fixed income, Social Security goes up a little bit, but the buying value, you know, if they were getting $1,200 a month, it's only worth about $900 a month now, just to keep up with what they used to be able to buy. And if the taxes goes up, they have to pay that, and people do have to sell their homes sometimes.
But one of the things that I've done on the council is we've never had a program where we would help people with sidewalks and driveways. You look at a couple thousand dollars to improve a sidewalk and versus kicking someone out of their house, then they have to go to an assisted living usually. That costs $35,000 a year, where for a couple thousand dollars, I can keep someone in their home by fixing their sidewalk for them instead of assessing them an additional tax because their sidewalk's broken.
Sioux Falls Housing used to be, it was started so that they could help seniors on Social Security to stay in their house with some supplements that Dashiell and Thune continued into that. But now a senior goes there and it's a five-year waiting period because of so much immigration.
Yeah, and the ARPA funds have really made a difference that have brought some of that back. I think we're going to actually have some money as a city that we're going to turn back because people don't realize the programs are there. So I would encourage people that if you've got, you need a new furnace, you've got siding problems, you need window things, the city has a program right now and there's millions of dollars in that program to assist you so that we can keep you in your house where you want to be rather than kicking you out and sending you somewhere you don't want to be.
a lot of people think you got to go to the school board and get in front of them to talk to. Is there any way, do they have an office where you can talk to a school board member? You can't do that. You got to go to the school board meeting, don't you?
You know what? I challenge you right now to go to the school district's website, look for school board members. You can't find a school board member's telephone number.
No.
There's a generic email address that kind of goes to each of them, but to try to reach out. So again, that's something that I want to change. I also want to change the public input part. You think the city has a tough way to be heard in front of the council. Trying to get time in front of the school board is just about impossible. They make you do it at the beginning of the meeting. You have to sign up. The moon's got to be in the third stage of Aquarius. And I don't remember all the hippie language, so I'll get it. But the bottom line is that what I found over time is people don't necessarily want me to agree with them, but they want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to their governing body, whether it's the school, the county, the city, they expect to be heard. And they're paying the bills, and they should be heard. And making it hard for them, having meetings at difficult times for working folks to be able to do that, to not having a simple telephone number where I can call my board member. My cell phone, my city telephone number rolls over to my cell phone. If I've got time, now it's gone off five or six times while I've been here with you this afternoon or this morning. I answered the best I can, and I'll get back to them, and that's what I've always done.
Well, when I called you, he answered the first time I called you, and he answered in the first one or two rings.
Well, you know what? I do make mistakes once in a while, John.
Talking to Pat Starr, Sioux Falls City Council, Northeast District, you're going to be timing out on that. Candidate, though, for Sioux Falls School Board, April 9th, coming up, where do they vote?
They will have to go online. The Secretary of State has the best way to do it because we've moved some voting locations. Again, another thing that I think we're missing the boat on voting locations. Voting locations should be in schools.
Yeah.
Our kids should see us vote. They mm-hmm. should see the democracy in action. And we've moved some of the voting sites out of the schools. There's a few in the community centers yet. I churches are fine and some of the other things, but every grade school in the city should have a voting location.
Why don't they keep moving it?
It's a good argument to at least balance with that there's some safety things that, you know, you have hundreds of people potentially showing up at a school that they're not used to, and the security of the kids, and it's difficult. I know the city clerk's office and the county auditor has a very difficult time making sure that they find enough voting locations.
You mentioned something earlier before that you wanted to get into. You mentioned also the fact that neighborhood or the schools are actually being diversified by income because of neighborhoods and that type of thing too. But yet students can opt to go to another school?
They can if there's openings. You know, the last time I had a couple of foster kids, we live right on the boundary of Sioux Falls. And a lot of my neighborhood kids get on a bus and go to Brandon because we're in the northeast part where Brandon brings a school bus to a block away from my house where potentially kids instead of going to Annie Sullivan in my part of town, so they can go over. But the thing is, we just have to make sure that we're doing a good job, that classroom sizes are starting to expand again. The number, you know, I mean, you have 32 kids in a class, even though the teacher has an aide, that's not, and five or six of them are gone every day, not the same five or six, but trying to get them all on board and in the same place. I mean, back to what we expect teachers to do.
Last minute, do you work with the Brandon, Harrisburg, T. Hartford school boards too?
I don't think we do enough. We have nine school districts in the city of Sioux Falls between the private and the public schools. We don't necessarily need nine superintendents or a president of a private school. And I think there are things that we can do that there's economies. We've seen that in the city where the public works department works with Lenox or some of the small towns in the community. Our competition is not the schools in the Sioux Falls School District. Our competition is the world, and our students have to be able to excel in the world, on the world stage, as much as they do, whether it's a competition with kids from Harrisburg.
Well, Pat Starr, we had a combination of City Council, Northeast District, running for a school board, Sioux Falls School Board. You've got kids in school yourself, and your dad of three. I want to thank you very much for being with us on Forum.
Thank you, John.